Well, I don't know what the epistle is. I hope it's a good one, because there's not a lot of gospel in the gospel reading either. Luke 12, there's some interesting stuff here, so I'm just going to work through John, you need to go. Ben, if you need to go for class, just, you know, head out, and I'll just pull forth for the folks on the internet. But it's Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. Not exactly a health and prosperity gospel, if I can say it that way. But that'll become evident. Why don't we can read through it and then maybe make some comments. So verse 13, after warning disciples about possible persecution, Jesus seems to shift back to speaking to the crowds, as you see from the introduction of verse 13. So we'll just read through it. Ependetis ectu oclu auto, and Atis, a certain person out of the crowd, said to him, here's the direct quote, didaskala, vocative of the noun teacher, Epa to adolfomu merissas met emu tain kleronamean. Teacher, say to my brother, tell him, to Marizo in the middle, voice, which means aorist middle infinitive, which can mean to share. So perhaps this is a younger son being asked about an older son's refusal, something like that, to share with me the inheritance. And Jesus simply refuses to bite. Verse 14. But he, there's the article followed by de, which changes the subject of the clause from the prior subject. So the article functions as a pronoun here. But he said to him, anthropa, man. Now the interrogative pronoun with the accent, who, kat estesen, this is from kathestemi, it means to appoint. Who appointed me? So me is the object of a point. The next noun is the complement of the object, so two accusatives. Who appointed me to be or as judge or divider, arbiter, f himas, over you? Which is a kind of a brusque way of saying, go find a lawyer or something. I'm not getting involved. You're asking a bad question. It's unimportant. Verse 15. And he said to them, presumably to all the crowds, horata, present imperative from horao, watch, kai philosistha, present imperative from philoso, watch and, take this as middle, guard yourselves from apopazes pleonexeos, from all covetousness. Why? Because, now this is a little challenging, uk ento peris uein tine, he zoe autu esten, ekton hip arkanton auto. We have ento plus the infinitive, ento peris uein, which normally has a temporal force in the New Testament, but it can mean in relation to this, or namely. So that's the way it's Glosterbrunner and some others suggest this. So guard yourself from all covetousness, greediness, because not in the abounding to someone is his life from his possessions or from the possessions to him. So it's a little kind of redundant almost, but Jesus wants to make the point that in abounding to someone of possessions is not the context in which a person's life consists. And then to repeat that thought, the prepositional phrase at the end, his life is not from the possessions to him. It's probably a good idea to say, you know, we live in a consumer society where there are more goods than anybody can possibly buy. In the first century, of course, it's radically different. Not that we know as much about it as we'd like to. But there's apparently, from the literature, a great divide between rich and poor, probably duplicated in some parts of the world today, certainly not in North America, although we have poor people. in North America. Very small number of wealthy people, limited number of goods. So the evil, the potential evil of being wealthy in the first century is that your wealth is hoarded rather than given to the poor, because there's only so much to go around. In our context, of course, you still have wealthy and poor, and you have the dangers of wealth, but they're a little different, because there's more than enough to go around. I think the danger for us is twofold. One is that we'd be greedy and not share with the poor, but the other is that we find ourselves able to actually chase after and accumulate possessions, bigger houses, nicer cars, fancier clerical shirts, whatever it happens to be, you know. So we may actually be worse off in the 21st century than in the first century, because the temptation is larger, because there's more stuff. So, and then Jesus tells the parable, and he's not nice. Verse 16, he said a parable to them, saying, he spoke a parable to them, saying, Anthropu tenas pluseu. Notice the genitive noun is fronted. Then we get the verb euphoresen, hechora. So the subject is hechora, the land of a certain rich guy. Literally, bore well. You know, was productive. Lots of crops. Verse 17. Kai dia la gidzeta, and he began to reason in himself, saying, and now we have a deliberative subjunctive, te poieso, what shall I do? Because, hati, uk echo, pu sin axo tus karpusmu. I mean, it's just, this guy's a real jerk. Because I do not have where to gather my fruits. See? It apparently never occurs to him to give them to poor people. It simply doesn't occur to him. The only question is, where do I put my stuff? Which makes me think of my attic and my basement, which is filled with junk. Kai Epin, verse 18. And he said, Tuta poieso, I will do this. Koth Elo, you had to look this one up. This is from Kafe Rao, it's the future. I will tear down of me the barns, tas apothekas. Kai meizanas, from megas, the comparative of megas, greater ones, accusative plural, oikodomeso, I will build, and sunaxo, I will gather there, panta tansiton, all my wheat, and my good things. Note the pronouns, my, I. I mean, this guy's going to hell in a handcart, literally. Verse 19, and I will say, ero, from Lego, to myself, te psuche mu, psuche, self, you have, ekes, pola agatha, you have many good things that are lying, es, ete pola, for many years. Ete is the accusative plural of etos, which means year. It's like ethnos, third declension. Now we got four imperatives. Anapau, relax. See? It's a present imperative middle. Relax. Faga, eat. Pi'e, drink. Eufrainu, rejoice. And we should have an imperative. Hipaga eis gehenna. Go to hell. Oh, this is horrible. Verse 20. Now comes the kicker. Epin de autoha theos. But God said to him, Aphron, fool. This, you do not want God saying this to you, right? Aphron, a dative of time when, on this night, your self, apaitousin, this is a, you get this in English and Greek, it's an impersonal third person. They will do something. Which is kind of like a passive, it will be done. So literally, this night, they will require or request from you your life. And, of course, lurking behind this is God. Hade he toimasas. Ha is the relative pronoun. And the things which you got ready, Tine estai, to whom will they be? The answer is, Havel Havelim. Who?
Ani.
Who? this is a horrible story. Verse 21. Thus, it is thus with this double participled person. Ha, thesaurizon, kai me, pluton. Thus, it is with the one who treasures for himself and does not or and is not rich toward God. And then you have to say, this is the gospel of the Lord. I mean,
really?
This is really tough. So what are you going to do with this? You're just going to blast away at people for being greedy? Well, you probably should, because as I like to say, in America, when it comes to possessions and our automatic assumptions that if I get more, I spend it on myself, or I add on to my house, or I buy a nicer car, or I get nicer clothes, or whatever, I just think there's always room for repentance. And so I think this text is a call also to believers to repent. The antidote, I think, comes in the next text where Jesus teaches about not worrying. And the punchline of that text is, seek first his basileia. Right? So the question is, back up in verse 15, of what does my life consist? And so you simply invite the congregation or the Bible class to believe again that our life consists in the reign of God, which is to say, in what Jesus has come to do. And then once you've got that straight, then you have the possibility of being set free from this other evil way of thinking. I do think we shouldn't fool ourselves. I think we are tempted in this way, and I think we should do something about it. I read a marvelous book, which I reviewed for the Concordia Journal, although the review hasn't come out yet. The book is by Mark Allen Powell, which I hardly recommend it. It's called Loving Jesus. And he has a chapter in there, a section on possessions, and he says this, if you want to love Jesus more, give away more of your money. And I think he's right. And so I think the pastor could challenge the congregation to examine their assumptions and to repent, to rejoice that our life is in the reign of God, which is Jesus and his word and his sacraments. And then I think the pastor could look at the congregation and say, I don't know if it's true of all of us, but most of us should be giving away more of our money. And not to the congregation. Give it away to someplace else. Habitat for Humanity. The local crisis pregnancy center. There's lots of places where our stuff could be put to better use than sitting in my attic. So it's a tough text. It's a very hard teaching, but it's important because possessions are not intrinsically evil. We shouldn't say that, but they are intrinsically dangerous. And Jesus is teaching pretty straightforwardly about that. But again, the good news comes really in the paragraph that follows, where you don't have to worry about your physical being. Christ just invites us to seek the reign of God in him. And then all the other stuff will essentially get taken care of. So. And that's it for Luke 12, for Pentecost 9, I think.